Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. There's a request. You've heard a multitude of prayer on my behalf. I pray one more is not too much to ask. Tried to fight this battle by myself, but I can't win this war without your help. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. Once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. And on my knees, I'm begging you, Father, would you help me turn the wine back into water? So many times I've hurt the ones I love. Push them to the edge of giving up. You stood by me, but how much can they stand if I don't put this bottle in your hand? Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. Once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. On my knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? Shook my fist at heaven for all the hell that I've been through. But now I'm asking for forgiveness and a miracle from you. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. And once upon a time you turned the water into wine. And on my knees I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? Help me turn this wine back into water.
Thanks. Deb, I'm trying to get... Man, I maybe played this twice since 1979. Been a while, but it's a great old song.
Who makes the wind to blow? Who brings the winter snow? Who makes grass to grow? Who saves the human soul? Jesus, Jesus, He makes all. Who calms the trouble?
All right, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, New Testament. We're going to read beginning at verse 10, but let's pray together, okay? Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Lord, this is your word. You've given it to us, and we recognize it as that, as the very word of God. Thank you for giving us this incredible book, telling us of the real history of the human race and your great love for us and our destiny because of what Jesus did. And Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and help us to see things we hadn't seen before. We ask you continue to change our perspective and just keep working on our hearts and minds and souls. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 11. This is the father of the Jewish nation's name was Abraham, and God called him out of the country he was in and sent him to a land that he said was going to be the inheritance for his children. He never thought he'd even have kids, and you need to read the stories in Genesis about Abraham. You'll absolutely love it. Here the writer of Hebrews says simply this, and beginning at verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Get this now, verse 10. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was a great man of faith. I want to talk to you about your life now that you've become a Christian. Now that you've trusted Christ, I want to talk to you about this. Because I want you to realize something, that you're now become different. And people are going to refer to you with a different kind of word, so you might as well get used to it. So the title today is this, Life, Now That You've Become Weird. It's true. When you became a Christian, did your friends start saying, what's up with you? How come you're not doing what you used to do with us? How come you're not running with us here? How come you're not involved? What, are you judging us? You think you're better than us? I mean, you'll hear all those things. But underneath it all, I don't know what happened to him. She became some Jesus freak or something, man. She is weird. So just accept the fact that you're weird, but I mean in a good sense, okay? It's a good, in a good sense of the word. You've become strange. When Abraham met God, everything changed. He literally began living in a different direction, leaving Ur of the Chaldeans and going out from there. God took him to what was considered the promised land, where Israel is today. Now that you've come to Jesus, there's this whole new perspective, a new way of seeing things. And I just want to talk to you about that. I have three simple points. Let me give you the first one. You have now become a person of faith. Now, I know that's a really general word. There are a whole bunch of fruitcakes out there that call themselves people of faith. Yes, I said fruitcakes. I used fruitcakes not long ago, and someone was offended. So I said, okay, I'm sorry for saying that guy was a fruitcake. He's a wonderful professor and this and this and this, and he's still a fruitcake. I said at the end of it all. But there's a lot of fruitcakes that say they are also people of faith. Because you see, to the world, that means you just believe anything. I know people that worship angels. They have angels all over their house, and they worship angels. Well, angels can't do much for you. You see, they look at the Father, and whatever the Father tells them to do, the Bible tells us, they minister to us, but we can't talk to them. So the worship of angels is kind of a strange thing. A lot of people who say they're people of faith are actually involved in the occult. They're involved in all kinds of the dark arts, as they're called. And they're involved in all kinds of weird stuff. But since you can't see it and they believe it, they're called people of faith. You're not that kind of a person of faith. It's really interesting. I have a friend that's deeply involved in that stuff. She has a friend who's a medium. And I said to her, listen, next time you see your friend, have her ask that spirit that communicates with her if Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. She said, that's a weird question. I said, it's a biblical question. She'll find out who that spirit really is. And boy, the result of that was really, really scary and interesting. A lot of people that just say they're a person of faith, but they're involved in that kind of stuff. A lot of people invent their own religion based on what they feel or think or what grandma said. And you're not that kind. You're not that kind of person of faith. So much of this today, it's, you know, mom died and now she's become our guardian angel. Angels, humans don't become angels. Angels are a completely different being than humans. And so your mom isn't watching over you. She doesn't need to. Now, in heaven, she can probably see the angels taking care of you. She doesn't have to lift a hand. You're taken care of if you've trusted Christ. You have his angels all around you to take care of you. And our loved one, that's a pagan idea, you guys. That's not a biblical idea. But now that you're a person of faith, what makes you different or weird from other peoples of faith out there, if you become a real person of the real faith, is that what we believe is documented. The Bible is the most incredible book ever produced on earth. It's also the most ridiculed book on earth. But it gives us all of the answers we need. It's rooted in history. I love how when the Bible says this happened when so-and-so was the emperor here and so-and-so was the king and the other one was the proconsul, they give you this historical setting. You want to know why? Because it happened and it's historical. To me, that's a beautiful thing. It's documented. It's historical. It's openly revealed. This was no sleight of the hand stuff that happened. When the Apostle Paul talked to the Roman ruler, he said to him, I know you've heard about this stuff. This wasn't done in some corner somewhere. I mean, it was the news about Jesus was across the Roman world. And so it's openly revealed. And last of all, and most importantly, it was proven by a resurrection that changed the world. And so we are people of faith. You know, there's a lot of people that won't believe. People that make up their own religion, do you want to know why they do that? People that are involved, say, in witchcraft. You want to know why they're involved in witchcraft? That's to control things. And the message of the Bible is that you got to give up. You have to surrender to the living God. And so we invent our own religions. We invent our own ideas and make them our faith. You know, atheism is the same thing. The atheists I know, none of them that I know, reject the teaching of the Bible because it's wrong. They can't prove that it's wrong. They can't do that. They just know that if they believe it, they have to surrender to it, and they don't want to give up their autonomy. That's all there is to it, you guys. It's really that simple. It's not an issue of the mind. It's an issue of the heart. The greatest thinkers that we have seen in the world were Christians. I mean, look up Chesterton. Look up Francis Schaeffer. Look up Francis Bacon. I mean, just read. So few people read anymore. Read. Our history is incredible. Filled with great thinkers. It's really an issue of the heart, not the head. My buddy Steve, he had been on Larry King's show a bunch of times, interviewed as a religious person, you know. Ah, it's Larry King. I can't do Larry King very well. And he loved Billy Graham. He had Dr. Graham on a whole bunch of times. He had my friend Steve on a whole bunch of times. And one time, in fact, it was the last time that my buddy Steve was around Larry. They were having lunch together. And Larry said, okay, let me ask you now, Steve. Tell me about this God stuff one more time. So Steve said, Larry, before I answer you, let me ask you. If I can show you that Jesus Christ truly was who he said he was, and beyond any reasonable doubt, would you then go on air tomorrow and announce that you've rejected your atheism and become a Christian? Good question. You know what Larry said? I'll get back to you. Eat your lunch. Okay? Last time you ever heard from him. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's not an issue of the head. It's an issue of the heart. You've become a person of faith, but you haven't disconnected your mind because you are a person of faith. You've come to trust in what you can't see based on what you have seen. Very important. You're a person of faith. That's a great thing. So now that you're a person of faith, you are, secondly, you're living from an eternal perspective. Things change. How you see things change. All of a sudden, you're not seeing things as just this, but more. In fact, turn with me, 2 Corinthians. Back in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, there is this verse in this chapter in the midst of what I'm about to read to you. It says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. What are they talking about? In the context, I want you to see what they're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So, Paul says, from now on, We regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in that way. He just thought Jesus was a normal guy. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Man, that's an incredible portion of scripture. See, what it means is you've got a whole new perspective on this. It's just not people, it's eternal people that we are around. Everybody is going to live forever somewhere. And we have been given this incredible insight into eternity. You know what happens when you get an eternal perspective? Your relationships begin to change. Relationships become more precious to you. They're the only thing that lasts beyond this world, the relationships we have with one another. You see, I'm going to take you to heaven with me, and you're going to take me to heaven with you. We're going to be together. Paul said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I mean, that's eternal, right? So relationships change, and it makes a difference. I mean, relationships are so messy in this world, and without Christ, they become so weird. I was at a funeral home. I heard yelling. It's first viewing of the deceased, and people are yelling. This one woman's yelling, I'll kill you! I'll kill you! And I look in, and some old man's got a cane over his head saying, well, I'll cripple you, woman, I'll cripple you. I had to put my striped shirt on and jump in there with a whistle and get back these people up. I mean, they were going at it. Just beautiful, right? I said, what are you doing? That is just crazy. But anyhow, so they were, you know, I'm just shaking my head at this family, but I understood more of them, about them, when I went out and there was a guy with a flower on crooked, going to be a pallbearer. And I introduced myself to him, and I said, you know, my name's Tom, my name's, you know, whatever his name was. And he said, are you a friend of Bobby's? And he said, yeah, I'm not family, I'm friend. We've been friends since the eighth grade. Man, we've been good friends. In fact, I'd never heard this before in my life, by the way, but he said, in fact, he married my ex-wife. Oh, it gets better. Now, we've been friends since eighth grade. In fact, he married my ex-wife twice. You may be a redneck. What do you think, huh? Holy cow! I said, brother, I have never heard that in my life. Are we messed up or what? But you come to Jesus, and since we get an eternal perspective, that stuff starts healing. You can't get away from it. You know, you get in there, you're reading it, you think you're all dedicated to Jesus, but you got some tiff going on with a family member or some other friend of yours, and you won't be able to get away from it, because what'll happen is that you'll open the Bible, and wherever you open the Bible, there it'll be. Like Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you're taking your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother and sister has something against you, leave it at the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother and sister, then come back. Do you mean my relationships are more important than my worship? My public worship, that is really interesting to me. You won't be able to get away from it, and God's going to start healing your relationships. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. Relationships become more precious when you get that eternal perspective. Also, your heartbreak can be endured when you have an eternal perspective. What would you do if you had to stand at the cemetery over a loved one's casket and not know that you're going to see them again? I mean, I just cannot imagine what that's like. I tell you, it's a thing that shook me all up. When I was a kid, my grandpa died. And I never considered it all that much, except when I was younger once and I put it out of my mind for a few years. But then grandpa died, and man, I'm telling you. Then the preacher preached the gospel. He was crazy, but he preached the gospel. He did a bunch of weird stuff during the service. Woo, it was just a wild. He did this thing, nah. If you want to trust the Lord today, don't tell me, come up and tell Grandpa. I mean, just manipulating people all over the place. People are crying and falling over. And I said, that's weird, but that other stuff I think might be true. Okay? And I started listening. And then I heard Billy Graham and got it right. And listened to a sweet girl from Clarkston High School who told me the rest of it. But anyhow, your heartbreak can be endured. So my buddy Chuck's sister died. Mary was 53. We had a couple of wonderful conversations on the phone. She was always here at the candlelight service for the last 20 years. They live in Ohio in this perfect little town that Debbie and I were amazed at. Her leaving has just devastated the family, but something happened. Remember Taylor? Taylor's a kid we prayed for who was a cancer patient. He's gone through it twice, and he's healthy, landed a great job, got a new suit, looking good, you know, the whole thing. But he said something after the committal service. He said, God's got a plan for us that none of us can see. But he was convinced that God was good and that God was going to work this out and he was going to wait for heaven. I mean, to have an eternal perspective is absolutely amazing. It'll also help you not to build your treasure in this world. You know, we're all tempted. I mean, there's advertisements everywhere. You can't be happy unless you have this, right? All the time. We're barraged with it all the time. Well, this place is temporary. I mean, it's temporary. Dan sent me a wonderful young guy this week a video, and he gave this illustration, and I identify with it because Debbie and I have been spending a lot of time the last few weeks in hotel rooms. And wouldn't it be weird if you went to a hotel and we were in this new hotel that had just been redecorated, but it was in a really strange style. Do you know what I didn't do when we stayed in that room? I mean, it was clean and nice and quiet and all those things, but I just didn't like the look. Do you know what I didn't do? We didn't go down to the Ethan Allen store down the street and buy all new furniture for that place. We didn't buy all new artwork and new carpets. We didn't have the bathroom torn out and have the kind of shower stall we like put in. You want to know why? Because that's the temporary dwelling. We're only staying there for a day. It'd be crazy to invest all that, wouldn't it? This is a temporary dwelling we're in. This is only for a couple of short years we live here. I mean, we want it to be nice, absolutely. We want it to express our art and the things that we love, sure. But we can't pour everything into it because this is just temporary. We get this eternal perspective because we are people of faith. And one other thing, not only you're now a person of faith, now you're living from an eternal perspective, but now you're living this adventure that you were made for. Maybe you don't even realize it, but to me, if you don't have the eternal perspective, you cannot live your dreams. You can't live for what you were made for. Do you know that not very many years ago, almost everyone believed the world was flat? Let me give you a quote. This is Lactantius is this guy's name. He was a counselor to the Emperor Constantine, the Roman Empire. Is there anyone so senseless as to believe that there are men whose footsteps are higher than their heads? Or that the things with which they are in a recumbent position, with them... let me get on through this because it's right here. And does anyone think that there are people who are standing above us or below us? Does any of us think that the rain, the snow, and hail falls upward to the earth? The origin of this error must also be set forth and destroyed. So the people believed that stuff. They thought that believing that the earth was round was absolutely crazy. But some people had watched the stars, and they had realized there was something going on, that there was movement in the skies, and that earth itself was not founded, but was floating in space and was circular. And so they started doing their calculations and determined that it was, and the whole world, including the church at that time, believed that the world was flat. And I mean, it went on and on. People were disciplined and laughed at and all that. Do you know you're going to be laughed at too because you believe something you can't see right now? You're going to be seen as weird and crazy. But you know what happened with those crazy people like Christopher Columbus? They went out and raised funds with the Queen of Spain. And they bought and built ships, and they equipped them, and they raised their sails, and they headed west, where everybody else said they would fall off the edge of the earth, and they discovered a whole new world. Now, you've come to trust in Jesus. I know this world is still pulling at you like it pulls at all of us, and none of us do this perfectly, but you are called to set your sail and keep moving in the direction of eternity. Don't let anybody change your mind. I want to read you one portion of Scripture, and then we'll quit. Ephesians chapter 2. You're in 2 Corinthians. You're going to go Galatians and then Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, I want you to see this. Beginning at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 goes like this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, you've all heard that 100 times in your life, right? Well, let me give you another one. The next verse that we seem to stop at. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You know what the word created means in the Greek? It's poema. It's our word for poetry. Something beautiful that God is making out of your life. This eternal perspective will help you set sail in the direction you're supposed to go, and your life will become a beautiful thing, working for Him in this world. Doesn't matter what you do, just being you in this world. Now that you've become weird, let's stand together to pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for your word. You're kind to us. We thank you for your goodness. And I ask that you'll continue to help us. We're yours, Lord. We ask that you will help us, you know, the situations we're facing, the things that are keeping us awake, the things that keep our stomachs churned up. We give all that to you. And we thank you for guiding us and helping us and leading us in this journey. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.